I hear the old familiar voices, the ones we love the most. It's Cliff and Kendall coming from coast to coast. Oh, they're chatting, philosophizing, laughing so damn loud. It's Christmas time, the show is starting. Listen and you'll be so proud. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of A Cliff and Kendall Christmas Home Companion, coming to you live from downtown Busheltown at the Potter Butter Butter Churn Center for the Arts. Tonight's program is brought to you by Mr. Forrester's Flockers. Mr. Forrester's Flockers is the only flock that stays flocked all through the holiday season. And now please welcome your host, acquaintances of the East and the West, but eternally sons of the South, here to sing their theme song, Cliff and Kendall.
You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all. To go someplace where the laughs are free and there are bad jokes and fat hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall coast to coast. We're the show that'll never say die,
but we say that a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall are your hosts. Come along for the ride.
Oh, what a ride.
We can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that ding-a-ring. And occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listeners, are here, we're ready to start the show.
Oh, it's a Christmas home companion, Kendall. How long are we going to refer to ourselves in third person? Cliff and Kendall, we're here and ready to go.
Hello, Busheltown! Oh. Hello!
Hello!
Oh, my God.
Hello, Potter Butter Butter Churn Center for the Arts. Oh. We're so glad you could all join us tonight. Merry Christmas! Oh, it's Christmas Eve!
Please, everybody, settle down. Settle down. If you don't stop, the show is going to go on forever.
It's going to go on forever. You know, the tickets tonight here, Kendall, have been, they've been saved for months. The tickets were given away on a lottery system, but not the normal lottery where you put in because you want to go. But like in the short story, the lottery where someone is chosen to be stoned to death every so often. These people were chosen from Busheltown and they must attend a cultural gathering. And so they are cashing in. Many of them are here for community service.
Well,
type
I just want to thank, I want to thank Mrs. Okay. Richards' class for being here for extra credit. I know that it was a big deal and I want to thank you for being here.
Kendall, they all have to write a one-page reflection on how tonight made them feel and how it compares to other Christmas Eve spectaculars. But now, everybody, I want
you to
know...
I apologize for the psychological fees later in your life. Thank you, band. Thank you. I love having a band behind us, Cliff.
You know, I know you just feel like Jay Leno.
I'm fulfilling my dream. Oh, my God. Hey, everybody. We're here.
We're here. Welcome to Busheltown, listeners at home. So that's what Christmas is all about. It's all about making compromise with your friends and with your family and just appreciating them and letting them know what a special place that they hold in your heart. Don't you think so?
It is. It is. And I hope that our listeners know that they are like family to us. And I want them to know the special place that we hold in our hearts for our listeners. It's true.
It is true.
We joke a lot about how fat we are. That's not a joke.
People hear the audience.
They get it. They finally get it. They're like, oh my God, This is what you've been talking about for 200 episodes. But we talked about how
they
fat
thought
we are.
Had the best Photoshop artist in the business do the poster.
Nope.
No, they thought we were looking like that to look more like Santa. That we were slimified. They slimmed us down.
Oh,
for that poster.
Cliff, if you know how many hours and how much money went into slimming us down in the Photoshop shoot. We had professional artists come in. There was more work done on us than Jessica Lange in American Horror Story.
There was so much work done on us. Kendall, a whole graphic design team from the local arts college by the subway here in Busheltown, they spent tireless nights working on our poster. And they're, you know, the audio visual squad is here tonight from Busheltown High, and they are broadcasting us out to the internet.
Thank you, Busheltown High, for being here.
It just brings me back to that first show we did in that gymnasium.
Oh, can you
Kendall,
believe
you remember that?
That
one?
Cliff, I feel like we just relived that recently. But
I feel like we had a crazy night last night, listeners. And we've had a crazy year this year, Kendall. We have gone through so much.
We have had a crazy year. We have been through so much.
Shit!
Oh.
We have been through it.
We have been through so much shit. And we have been through so much weight.
I'm sick of it.
We have been through so much tribulations and trials.
But so many pies. So many cakes.
Pies.
So many pants. We've just exploded out of so many pairs of pants.
Cliff, we have lost people this year. Close to us, not so close to us. We have rose above the problems of our weight. We have done so much this year, but as we get to the end of the year, I would like to reflect on how wonderful life really is. And I know that we talk about how terrible it is all the time, but this is the season, Cliff, and listeners, to remember how wonderful we have it. It's real. We are really blessed.
We are. I challenge all of our listeners for a day. Tomorrow. Maybe not tomorrow. Tomorrow you should be happy anyway. It'll be Christmas.
You're going to be hungover tomorrow. Wait till the day after.
Right. The day after, Kendall, I challenge you and our listeners. I want you to, whenever you have those negative thoughts, those horrible negative thoughts that just creep up on you, I want you to replace them with loving thoughts.
Love.
Think about.
Not with those. Don't replace
like if
them with those.
If you're at the mall returning that awful, ugly sweater your Aunt Marcia bought you that was two sizes too small because she thinks you fit into a medium when you are obviously an extra large, but you are returning that and Kendall, you have those negative thoughts, I want you to just stop and think about something that you love, whether it is this show or whatever else you might love.
Yeah, well, you know. I mean, Cliff, I have become such a bitch over the holiday season.
Yeah.
And it's been hard to come to terms with because I just want to bitch about everything. But that's not the nature of the season. And we've learned
it's
that all too well lately. So, if we can learn the proper ways of Christmas, Cliff, like little Johnny has learned the proper ways, our listeners can too.
They definitely can. Kendall, there's hope for us all. God bless you and
God bless
everyone. Kendall, I want to let our listeners know we have another special guest here with us tonight.
Who?
Our first lady of podcasting is coming out. She's going to come on out, Rand, and she and I are going to sing a beautiful Christmas tune for everyone.
Oh.
Kendall, if you'll just head over there, we'll see you in a minute.
Okay, well, I'll be over here. Look
at Frosty go. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a wooden nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat that they found. For when they placed it on his head, well, he began to boogie around.
Oh, Frosty the Snowman was as light as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
Yes, I say the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cars. And only paused a moment where he heard him holler,
Stop, stop! Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way. But he waved goodbye, saying, "Now don't you cry, I'll be back again someday."
Thumpity-thump, thump, thumpity-thump, thump, over the hills of snow.
Oh, but that was wonderful. That was so wonderful.
I know. Oh, Rand, you go rest your voice.
Could have dealt with another verse, maybe, but it was good.
No. We couldn't handle any more verses than that one, Kendall. But, you know, Rand, her voice has been bothering her lately, so she's been like Celine Dion. Kendall, she's only drinking lemon juice and honey, and she just can't speak except to use her beautiful, beautiful singing voice.
Well, my voice has not been bothering me at all, but...
It has not. Kendall, you have a big, robust, fat voice to go with your big, robust, fat body, and that is not a joke.
Oh, it is not. Now, I have been working hard over these last couple months to lose weight, damn it.
You work hard for the money.
You work hard for obesity.
So hard.
Oh, Cliff.
We do. Oftentimes when I'm laying in bed covered with candy bar wrappers, I realize how hard I'm working for obesity.
Cliff, this man... just like us, was in no shape to drive.
Man.
He was in no shape to drive. So he wisely left his car parked and he walked home.
Smart. Do that, listeners, on these New Year's Eve parties that you're going to go
to. Do it. Do it. Now, as he walked home, unsteadily along, he was stopped by a policeman. "What are you doing here at 2 a.m.?" said the officer. And the man says, "I'm going to a lecture." And the cop said, "And who is going to give a lecture at this hour?" And the man said, "Oh, my wife."
Bitch wife.
My asshole bitch mother wife.
Oh, Kendall. A boy. Your joke was about a man. Mine about a boy. Like a movie about a boy.
Who? Which boy? Was it a specific boy?
Sure. Let's say Little Johnny. Why not? Let's say it's him.
I'm just waiting, Cliff. I'm just waiting to hear about Little Johnny.
Little Johnny, he was begging his father to get him a Christmas tree this year.
Oh, poor Little Johnny.
Each year, Little Johnny asks, and the father tells him, "I don't want to pay for it."
Oh, what an asshole his father is.
Asshole dad. Kendall, all these asshole father issues. Everybody's got them.
Daddy.
The son, Little Johnny, he kept begging. Unable to bear his son's whining, Daddy picked up an axe one day and headed out of the house. And now 30 minutes later, he returns with a great big Christmas tree. "How'd you cut it down so fast?" his son asks. "I didn't cut it down," the father replies. "I got it at a tree lot." "Well, then why did you bring an axe?" "Because I didn't want to pay." Oh, Kendall, Little Johnny's father, an axe murderer.
Oh, shit, Cliff. Shit. You are bringing new insights into Little Johnny. I have no idea. I had no idea.
You talk about origin stories. The birth of our Lord and Little Johnny.
That was a prequel to the Little Johnny story. But a man walks into a bar and he says, "Bartender, give me two shots." And the bartender says, "You want them both now or one at a time?" And the guy says, "Oh, I want them both now. One's for me and one's for this little guy here." And he pulls a tiny 3-inch man out of his pocket, Cliff.
Oh, my goodness. How adorable.
It's adorable. The bartender says, "He can drink?" And he says, "Oh, sure, he can drink." So the bartender pours the shots. And sure enough, Cliff, this little guy drinks it all up. And the bartender says, "That's amazing. What else can he do? Can he walk?" And the man flicks a quarter down the end of the bar and says, "Hey, Jake, go get that." And the little guy runs down into the bar, picks up the quarter, runs back down and gives it to the man. And the bartender, Cliff, he is in shock. And he said, "That is amazing. What else can he do? Does he talk?" And the man says, "Sure, he talks." Oh, he didn't say that. Cliff.
No, not that either.
He said, "Sure, he talks. Jake, tell him about the time when we were in Africa and you made fun of that witch doctor's powers."
Oh, God.
Cliff, he shrunk him.
Shrunk him so small. Kendall, there was a lady.
Oh, a lady.
That's right. Listen to the ladies in the audience. They're so happy finally
to
for us, they say.
Yes.
A lady.
I know, we had
a
lady in the office. And the audience in the office. Oh, Cliff, I need to lay off that butternut rye Krispies over there.
Kendall, there's butternut rye Krispies floating around the audience. I can
Can't
see
help
them.
It. Can't
I
help
can
it.
See them. This lady, she called her gynecologist, and she asked for an emergency appointment.
Ooh.
And the receptionist said to come right in. And so she rushed to the office on Christmas Eve through all the shopping traffic and was ushered right into an examination room. And the doctor came into the exam room and asked about her problem. Oh, Kendall, she was very shy about her emergency problem and asked the gynecologist to please just examine her vagina.
Examine it.
So the doctor, I know. So the doctor started to examine her. Just examine it.
Just examine it. That's my new phrase.
He stuck up his head after completing his examination. I'm sorry, miss, he said, but removing that vibrator is going to involve a very lengthy, delicate, and expensive surgical operation. Kendall, what was she doing?
Oh,
Christmas
God.
Eve, no less. I'm not sure I can afford it, said the young woman.
Could.
But while I'm here, could you just replace the batteries? Kendall, a nymphomaniac.
Well, we all got it. We all suffer. I got one final thing to ask you, Cliff. How do you keep you and me, or how do you make you and me do sit-ups?
It's not possible, Kendall. Scientists have tried, and they cannot do it.
You put ice cream between our feet. We will keep sitting up and keep getting a bite every few seconds.
Kendall, what do you call
my breast or something?
Of...
Sorry,
well,
listeners,
don't
you have to do that.
Those things at me, Kendall. What do you call all the fear of getting stuck in a chimney?
Stuck in a ventilator. I don't know, Cliff. What?
Santa claustrophobia. Ooh. Kendall, when is a boat like a pile of snow?
I don't know, Cliff. When?
When it's adrift. And Kendall, you know, this is just a witty aside. Sometimes I just make them.
Sometimes it just happens. Can't help it.
I've always thought when you stop believing in Santa Claus is when you start getting clothes for Christmas. What a terrible...
Oh, that's why I don't believe. I still believe in Santa Claus, Cliff. I still believe in him.
Kendall, it was a year in the 90s. At some point, I got a belt from my aunt for Christmas.
Bitch.
And I cried.
Well,
I opened
you
up should've. That box.
You
should have. I saw a belt. And I cried. It was the first time. You know how you have those moments in your life when you realize things can be awful?
Uh-huh.
And it was like that. I thought, oh my God, not even Christmas can always be good.
Cliff, you know why you cried?
Terrible.
Because it didn't fit. That's why I don't like clothes for Christmas. Get me food, a gift certificate, or some sort of great electronic toy. That's all I want for Christmas.
All I want for Christmas is world peace, listeners.
Or world
we've got
peace.
Another song. Another song about world peace, about our true wish for Christmas, Kendall.
Is this me?
Kendall, if you will make way, that's our first lady. She's going to unrest her voice for just another minute.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, here in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, you won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old Mountain Dew. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
They've got cars big as bars, they've got
bells of gold, but the wind goes right through you. It's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
You were pretty, Queen of New York City. When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drunks they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. And the boys of the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
You're a bum, you're a punk.
You're an old slut on junk, lying there almost dead on a trip in that bed.
You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap lousy.
Hey.
Happy Christmas, your ass, I pray God it's our last.
And the boys of the NYPD choir still singing Galway Bay. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. I could have been someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you. And the boys of the NYPD choir still singing Galway Bay. And the bells are ringing out, it's Christmas Day.
Listeners, we're back.
Kendall, what another beautiful song that I just sang with our first lady. Wasn't it gorgeous? She has a beautiful voice.
Oh, Cliff, it was so beautiful. I had to have another drink.
Kendall, let's get to the point. Let's roll another barrel of monkeys down the aisle.
Yeah.
You know when I say that Christmas is all about helping people.
Oh, Cliff, you say that all the time.
That Christmas is all about helping people. Do one nice thing for someone else this year, even if it's just hold the door open for a person in a wheelchair.
But that was beautiful. And
do it!
And I think it's time to do some help for people. Cliff, you've got questions. We've got answers. It's time.
We've got answers.
For dear Cliff and Kendall. All of our listeners want to ask us questions. We can only answer so many questions at a time, Cliff, but it is that time of the show.
We have literally hundreds of letters up here in a barrel put in here by almost every member of the audience. Some of them, Kendall, have been writing letters for hours, hoping we will draw one of theirs. So why don't you just draw you the first letter out of the barrel.
All right. Well, I just want to say, first of all, that we only have so much time. We can only answer...
Only so much time.
One or two questions apiece. All right. Here we go. All right. Let's see. Dear Cliff and Kendall, my boyfriend and I have reached an impasse. He says that breakfast, brunch, or lunch is an acceptable time to spend with my girlfriends. Oh, my God. Cliff, I'm trying to help people.
Sorry.
But dinner, Cliff, is family time and should be spent at home with him. He also says that girlfriends who spend a weekend away together are up to no good. I see no problem with it. What are your thoughts? And that is unsure in the Midwest. Cliff, what do you think about that problem?
You know, I have known some couples who get strangely upset when they are separated for a little while.
Yeah.
And I think that that is weird.
It is weird, right?
And yeah, I think it's strange. And I mean, I would understand if it was like, oh, every night I'd rather go out and do something else all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I mean, I think it makes you look insecure in how you feel about the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, the boyfriend is insecure, controlling, and if this person is smart, they will find someone who is less threatened by female bonding and let this one go.
Oh, let him go.
Let him go.
let him go.
Reach into that barrel and pull out another question for us.
Oh, let's see. Dear Cliff and Kendall, I'm in a real Christmas jam here and hope you can help me out.
Oh, I love jam.
Five years ago, when my niece was 9, we came up with the idea of making Christmas cards and sending them out to special friends and family members. And we both work hard to make sure each is attractive and in good taste, and we handwrite a personal note inside. We also print on the back that the card was handmade with love.
That's beautiful.
Has become a tradition for the two of us, and the cards are quite beautiful. Last year, after we sent them out, I received a card from a friend, I was going to edit and say a bitch friend, with a small check inside, and the card read, "I'm sending you this check so you can afford to buy real cards next year." Cliff and Kendall, I was, to say the least, hurt and offended. I wondered if others felt similarly, so I asked around and was shocked to learn that they, too, thought I was cheap.
Wow, they write that to us. There are so many words we can write and listen to on the show.
They were just writing stream of consciousness, Kendall. Although it costs
like
more
that's
money.
Spelt. Yeah.
Here, look, see.
Oh my God. You're correct.
Although it costs more money and time to create these handmade cards, no damn bitch appreciated them. And Cliff and Kendall, we won't be making these cards this year. But how do I tell my niece and why? I don't want her feelings to get hurt, too, and that sign, "Having a Blue Christmas in Busheltown." Kendall, what is to be done about this situation?
Well, you know, Cliff, I think this is an important lesson to teach that little girl. I think it's important to teach her that, you know, people don't always appreciate the things that you do for them. And just because you don't do it doesn't mean you don't care for that person. It just means that people don't appreciate the things you do for them. And it is a very important lesson to learn when you grow up.
I agree that it's a teachable moment. What I do think is that what I would teach is, I would say, "Do you like making these cards?" And if the answer is yes, I would say, "Here's the lesson. Fuck whatever they think. We're going to make these cards."
Well,
and we will send them. And if we don't send them to those same people who don't like them, we will send them to a nursing home. We will send them to a veterans hospital. We will send them to somebody somewhere on hospice.
You know what?
Will appreciate getting a beautiful Christmas card.
Cliff, that is a wonderful thought. There, my accountant that I go to every year has an organization that he does cards for Valentine's Day, Christmas, Thanksgiving, every holiday, where they send to people that don't usually get cards for things like that. I think that is a wonderful charity, and if you are sending things to people that don't appreciate it, send it to somebody in need, because that is a beautiful thought, and I gladly welcome that. I think that's wonderful.
That's what I really think Christmas is all about, Kendall, and I think it's about that. I think it's about what?
I forgot to get stupid questions.
Hey, no problem. I think it's also about song, and we're going to have a break here. You and I, you can go get stupid questions.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And we're going to let our good friends, recently reunited everybody, Mr. Snodbottom and Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn, why don't you sing us a little holiday chestnut?
You don't want to hear us?
Maybe it's much too early in the game, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year's, New Year's Eve?
Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night, welcoming in the new year. New Year's Eve.
Maybe I'm crazy to suppose I'd ever be the one that you choose.
Oh, out of 1,000 invitations you received.
Oh, but in case I stand one little chance, here comes that jackpot question in advance.
What are you doing with New Year's? New Year's Eve.
Oh, Potty, I'm so glad, girl. I'm so glad we got back together here for a Christmas miracle together.
Oh, dear, you're so wonderful, dear. You make my holiday so bright.
Oh, yes. Ooh, but in case I stand one little chance, here comes a jackpot question in advance.
What are, what are you doing?
New Year's? New Year's Eve.
Oh, dear. Oh, that was wonderful, dear.
I love you, girl.
That was lovely. It was beautiful.
I love them. I love them singing together. Kendall, I'm so glad to see them back together.
I am happy this too as well.
Crazy year we've had.
But I have had a thought that we should sing a song. I mean, maybe some song we've sung in the past, some song.
Kendall, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Kendall, I think people who say they know what's going to happen in the future are stupid. Not that I would stoop to judging.
Okay, well, if you say so, start, okay. Cliff, it's time for Kendall's stupid questions, but the band started before I knew what was going on. I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't have control over the show anymore.
Kendall, I want you to look back into our archives and listen to a little show called We Are Not In Charge.
We are
in
charge.
And then you'll know how to feel.
Is it we are not in charge or I am not in charge?
Both.
Cliff, I think you had discussions with the writers and everyone before we started this show. I don't know what's going on. Cliff, I have some stupid questions for you, though, and this is the one thing I'm in control of. Let me ask you this first, Cliff. If you, Cliff, could share one quality with a celebrity, what would it be?
The hot, sexy body of... really, just anybody other than me would be better.
With Dom DeLuise, that hot, sexy body.
I could probably pull my belt buckle in a few more notches if that were the case. Listen, if I'm going to choose one celebrity, why not Ryan Gosling? He seems so tall and skinny.
Tall and skinny, that's the quality you would take.
Skinny. Either tall and skinny or short and skinny. I don't give a fuck. So long as it's skinny.
As long as skinny is in that dialogue somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, Cliff, if you could have dinner anywhere in the world, which restaurant would you choose?
I don't know. Where do you want to go? I'm the worst. This is like I get to choose one in the world. I cannot choose a restaurant. Kendall, I do not have the ability
to
choose a restaurant.
Cliff, you have never been able to choose a restaurant.
I can't. You can tell. I don't. When I'm with other people who are like me, we don't know what to do. We can't decide where to go. I have no idea. Where do you want to go?
Well, I think Mr. Flogstaff's beef restaurant is one of the best in Busheltown. And I would just like to say that. I would like to point out his restaurant in Busheltown, one of the best ones.
That does sound good. Do they have vegetarian options? Do we need them?
Cliff, I don't think vegetarian options exist in Busheltown. But we always make it work. We always get a salad and we hold the bacon.
Well, oftentimes you can substitute rye bits.
Well, you can. I just like to hold it in my hand while I eat. I like to hold the
hold
bacon.
It. Hold the mayo. Okay.
Hold it. Cliff, if you had to downsize, other than weight.
My big fucking fat body!
We already know if weight was an issue, you would downsize that. But other than weight, Cliff, if you had to downsize, What would you get rid of?
What would I get rid of? How about a massive chunk of debt? How about student loans? Can I downsize them?
All right, I'll accept it. I'll take that.
Take it.
I'll take it and run, Cliff. One final question. What would you rather have? A job you love that pays poorly like this one? Or a well-paying job that stinks?
Always A.
I love this job, no matter how terrible it pays. They pay us.
We do it for the love. We don't do it for the money or for the Peabody Awards that we cannot afford to be in contention for. Because exactly. They do not accept payment entry forms in the form of rye shaving.
Exactly. And that's all the stupid questions that I have, Cliff.
Oh, the listeners are saying, if only that were all the stupid questions forever. But it's not. It's not. Sorry.
But that is not nice. If that only I had nice. A song to sing about that.
There's always tomorrow for dreams to come true.
Kendall,
what do you want to say? Oh. The night is winding down. The evening has worn on. What do you want to say to Busheltown on Christmas Eve? You're like the queen in England giving a Christmas message. What do you want to say?
I think Busheltown has been so generous to us over the years. And I want to thank Busheltown for accepting us every year for our show and for who we are, over the obesity
for
that
who
we are,
for or that we have. Reinforcing the stage here several times over with stainless steel.
Charles has been working around the clock to make sure this stage can support us. I want to thank him. But you know,
not an easy task.
Busheltown holds a special place in my heart. Because it is the hometown of Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn and Mr. Snodbottom. And without them, our show would not be here.
That's right. That's right. Mr. Snodbottom, he pulled us up out of the street one snowy evening. We were trying to sell matches on a particularly cold night. Yep. And we had almost run out. And he pulled us inside and said, hey.
Do a show.
Sit here.
Do a show. Talk for half
Say
an hour.
Hilarious things.
See what happens.
And we did. And we did, Kendall. And it was the beautiful Christmas history of that moment.
It was.
That people, we've never shared that before with listeners, but
they're so surprised.
On Christmas Eve.
It's so sad.
On a night like tonight.
They're surprised and they're
it's
sad
a beautiful,
for us, Cliff. They're sad for us.
It's a beautiful time, Kendall. Christmas, I can't believe it's almost over, and so that's what makes it so sad.
It is sad. Cliff, if our listeners love us or love our show or want to be part of our show, go to cliffandkendall.com, cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, give us a call on our fat line at 818-3084-FAT. We will play your message on the show.
Sure we will.
Sure. Cliff, do you have a quote about how wonderful this Christmas season is?
Kendall, when I think of Christmas, I always think silently to myself, our hearts grow tender with childhood memories and love of kindred, and we are better throughout the year for having, in spirit, become a child again at Christmas time. Oh. And that was said by Laura Ingalls Wilder. Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful. Cliff, I have two quotes. My first one is, there are some people who want to throw their arms around you simply because it is Christmas. There are other people who want to strangle you simply because it is Christmas. And that was Robert Stratton Lynde.
Oh, Robert. Kendall,
oh, Robert.
Oh, Robert, you scoundrel. Instead of being a time of unusual behavior, Christmas is perhaps the only time in the year when people can obey their natural impulses and express their true sentiments without feeling self-conscious and perhaps foolish. Christmas, in short, is about the only chance a man has to be himself.
Oh.
And that was said by Francis C. Farley. And Kendall, what a beautiful, at the end of the year,
that's 'cause we eat.
Let me say one more time how you are like a brother to me, and it's our 10-year anniversary.
Oh.
And what would I be without you? 200 episodes. And remember all those beautiful moments we have throughout the year. Let me reiterate those to you now.
Well, thank you, Cliff. I have one of the quote. And I've said this one before, but it's too good. I've said it again.
Too good.
Too good. It's from our namesake, Garrison Keillor's show. Garrison Keillor. A lovely thing about Christmas is that it's compulsory, like a thunderstorm, and we all go through it together.
We all go through it
just
together.
Too beautiful.
It would be beautiful.
Was there another song you had that you wanted me to help out with? Or
Kendall, there is another song, and you can help, Kendall.
I want you to pull the curtain over there.
I want you to pull the curtain because our first lady, oh, Rhea, she's coming back out.
Oh, Rhea, I love her.
Oh, welcome back. Don't talk until we're ready to sing. I don't want you to waste that voice of yours. All right, Kendall, if you will just go over there and tell the band to start it up.
Right, you'll point to me when to start?
Oh, Kendall, you stupid fat son of a bitch. You've got there's a little hole in the middle of the song. If you can think of anything to say, we've assigned the two verses, but if you can think of something else to say, I want you to join us. And first, let me just say good night, everybody.
Oh, good night. We love you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and a happy new year. All right, I'm ready to go, Cliff.
And may all your Christmas.